start by first, Ivri's here. Okay, Ivri's, even if Ivri's not here, it's fine. Ivri's giving the same Chabura at 9:15, like he gave last night. And tonight is Jacob Rothman's famous Chazar Shir, which we're looking forward to. Okay. So I want to give just a shtickle hakdama. I think it's a great thing. I really think it's a great thing. Sometimes, like Rav Horn was saying the other night, that when you listen to people, shiurim online, whatever, so you take, you receive from them. What she was saying is fantastic, but it's not a relationship. So I really appreciate a lot when people interact with me. I have a lot of people who I never met, and somehow they get their hands on the shmooze. I met a great kid. I was walking up the stairs yesterday, 2 days ago, and some very cool-looking kid, not like Ruby, but cool-looking kid, he came over to me and he said, I loved frat boys with Downey jackets. So I said, who are you? So he told me I'm an 11th grader in TABC. Forgive me, I forgot his name. And he said, I loved it. And we were schmoozing, hocking out, you know. The frat boys, Downey, the whole schmooze, we were hocking out. It was great. I love it because I like to get feedback. I like to interact. I like to get pushback. Is what I always tell you guys. And I would encourage you always, when you listen to Shirin, always try to get a hold of, you liked it, you didn't like it, you had a question, you had a comment, always interact, always, always. He's like some Rebbe, some whoever, that he doesn't want to hear from you. You reach out. Okay, so that's number one. So on that note, so Natan Solomon, I think you guys, you know Rav Ari. Okay, Natan is Rav Ari's brother. So Natan Salman was in yeshiva a few years ago. And in yeshiva, we were very good friends. But we didn't have so much personal interaction, as much as I would have liked. But I saw him at a wedding a few weeks ago. Steinert's made a wedding, and I saw him there. And he said to me a line. He said to me, you should know, I listen to the shmooze when I drive to work. So I didn't know that. If I knew that, he would be on my mind. It would mean a lot to me. But now I know that, so I'm very excited about that. And then when I see him, I get to ask him, you know, what do you think about this? Get feedback. He's a very bright guy, very insightful guy. So he sponsored the shmooze tonight. And I just thought that was a great way of introduction. Number one. Number two, Akiva Kroll, it was amazing. It's weird not to call him Rebbe Akiva, I don't know. He's like a shtickle Rebbe, but he's also a guy. So he came to me last night after I spoke, and he said to me, you said you have the most amazing part about Kol Hadar B'Chutz La'aretz K'mishe'en Lo Aloka. Did I miss it? I said, no, I never said it. I just didn't say it. So he said, why didn't you say it? I said, I don't know, I got sidetracked. I don't know where my brain went. My brain went anywhere else but that. So he said, what's the bar? So I said, I'll tell you tomorrow. But he's not here. So I'll tell you tomorrow. I'll tell you today. I said, Rav Yerucham. He says the most, again, it was connected to what I said last night. But last night we were talking about Kirov and Richuk and an ounce of Kirov and an ounce of Richuk. So I told you this is the right shot in that Gemara. Galdar b'chutzlar, it's kamisha ein lo aloka, doesn't mean the Zionist propaganda that if you live in chutzlar, it's you're a guy. It's not what it means. You're a very holy Jew. And Hashem also is in Galus. Where does Hashem reside? In Galus. That's where he is. So how are you going to tell me that you live in Chutz Lartz, God's not there? When Klal Yisrael went to Galus, where did Hashem go? To Galus. It's Pashit. You can't interpret the Gemara like that. So says Rav Yerucham, what does it mean? He doesn't ask this Kasha. He just says Pashit what it means. What it means is, when you're in Chutz Lartz, you're not in Eretz Yisrael. There's a Richuk. And that Richuk is enough kami she'ein lo alokam. It sounds exaggerated, dramatized, that just a little bit has a big effect, a small cause can make a big effect. And that's the vart we were saying last night. That a small richuk and a small kiruv have a big effect. So when you're in Chutz Lartz, it's a richuk. That's all it is. It's a richuk from Har Habayis, from Yerushalayim, from Eretz Yisrael, from the Kedusha. It's a richuk. God is still there, but that small richuk makes it ki'ilu, kimi, as if, in lo aloka, that dramatic That's the Reb Shem. It's not what you heard growing up in when you went to camp, but that's the Reb Shem. That's the Reb Shem. It's Emes Reb Shem. I really believe it's Emes. So while I was on it, my mind was in the sugya. So I thought to myself, let's talk about the other pshat. So we mentioned yesterday that the other pshat is why you need the death of the Kohen Gadol to allow the Retzeach to come back into at least his city, at least back to his house. So the Gemara Makos says, Rashi quotes, "L'fishayilo l'Kohen Gadol li'spalel shlotera takala zu li'Yisrael b'chayev." So yesterday we spoke about Richuk and Kiruv, and the onus was on the Roitzeach. The Roitzeach is now distanced from the Kohen Gadol. It's a punishment. That's the Pshat in Kohen Gadol. But the other Pshat in Rashi from the Gemara Makos says the opposite. It's the problem is the Kohen Gadol. He's the problem. Because he has a responsibility to be mispalel that this incident should not happen in his lifetime. And the fact that he didn't take that responsibility seriously enough, so he's punished. That now there's a guy that's waiting for his death. So Stam, you know, I had different ideas what to discuss. The easiest idea, for sure, I'm not going to discuss because I don't like the easy, like generic approach. But it's kedai to discuss, not today, that koyach atvila. If you would have davened, it wouldn't have happened. What are you talking about? I davened for a lot of things. They still don't come true. And Chazal tell us that if you would have davened, it would not have happened. That's mind-boggling. And it's a vadai. It's a vadai. You have to go and wait till the Kohen Gadol dies, because this Kohen Gadol, vadai, didn't daven for you. How do we know? Because if you would have davened, wouldn't vadai. Vadai. Unbelievable. But we're not talking about that. And then the Gemara says, Gemara's a kasha over there. And the Gemara says, it goes two ways. Not just that the Kohen Gadol should have davened for the Ritzeach and he didn't, but now what happens is the flip. Now, Kol Zman, as long as the Ritzeach is in Golus, he wants to get out. And you know who also wants him to get out? His mother and his father and his sisters and his brothers. They all want him out. So what are they going to do? So it's not, you know, they don't have TDS over here and, you know, taking shots in every opportunity. They're not trying to kill the president over here. So what do? They try to kill the president in the way that a human being is not mutter, but also not usher to kill somebody. They daven. And who davens the most? The person who cares about him the most, his mother. And who has the strongest tefillas? The mother. So now you have a Ritzeach, his mom, 40 days at the Kotel, the whole skula. She goes to every Rebbe, she gets every bracha, that the Kohen Gadol should drop dead. She's mamish, storming the heavens, a whole Tehillim chant she has, that we're going to kill the Kohen Gadol, save my son. Major movement she creates. All the channels, GoFundMe, whatever you like. And she's really making a big push that the Kohen Gadol should die. So, again, the same Shmuz we're not talking about. The Koyach HaTvila. And we're so scared about this, that the mother, that's what the Mishnah says. So the Mishnah Maku says, mother versus mother. Now, who has to get involved? The Kohen Gadol's mother has to get involved. His loved ones. So they gotta send out bribes. So the mother would go to the family, to the Rotzeach himself. Again, the Mishnah talks about the Rotzeach himself, davening. I'm broadening, I'm dramatizing, but it's true what I'm saying. I mean, you live in the world. It's true what I'm saying. But the Mishnah just talks about the mother of the Kohen Gadol. Zelu Mazeh. And the mother of Kohen Gadol, I saw all the Tehillim chats. You doubting my son should die? We got to end this. So what does she do? She goes by his cholent. And she goes by his cakes. And she goes, if the chevra likes herring. And she goes in, and she goes to the Ritzeach. I'm begging you, stay in the Ir Miklat. As long as you're in the Ir Miklat, you're on kolel on my budget. I'll pay for your food. I'll pay for your rent. I'll pay for the car, life insurance, whatever you want. Doggies every night. You have a great life. On my bill. She gives him the credit card for free. Zelu mazeh. You got to protect the kid. Okay, so clearly, there's a shmuz of tefillah. which we're not going to talk about, a different day. But there's a Marsha. The Marsha says over here, he claims, that it's not exactly what it sounds like. The Marsha says, it's not that anybody, like I was saying yesterday, I quickly made reference, and that is what I want to talk about tonight. I made reference last night that a person has, somebody expressed it better than I did when he came over to me afterwards. Somebody expressed it to me that a person has a bandwidth of a community that he can care about. And the Kohen Gadol's bandwidth is very far-reaching. It's extremely broad. And you have to determine your own. So the Marsha says, not quite. The Marsha says, when the Kohen Gadol goes, Lefnai v'lefnim, on Yom Kippur, the Kodesh Kedoshim, there's a certain tefillah he says to make sure no takala will come to Klal Yisrael. And so if you would have really daven that tefillah, there would have been no Ritzicha B'Shogim. So it was really a specific tefillah, miyuchah for the Kohen Gadol. But let's talk broad. Not the Marsha, let's talk general. When the Kohen Gadol doesn't fulfill his responsibility to care and to be mispalel for the tzibur, he opens up a door that now this Rasha, and Chazal don't look at this, even though it was only Bishogeg, Chazal don't look at this Bishogeg murderer in a positive light. It seems the common understanding is that there was something within him that got him to be fall under the category of Rotzeach. He wasn't the Tzadik Yisod Olam. But this Rasha, we'll call him, has the capacity now to be mispalel that the Kohen could die. Why? Because the Kohen didn't live up to his responsibility. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit. And when Besetchis and Rafi Kornick were here, like I asked, and I asked in the beginning, every conversation I had with them turns into a shmooze, or a response for a shmooze, or a shmooze at least in my mind. And now Ivri's here. He's the, you know, the from the Ziknei Hadar over here. So Ivri from the Ziknei Hadar, he gives one talk. He spoke a few minutes, and from that one talk, I've already, you know, 8 sugyas in my mind cooking right now. And he gave a talk, he mentioned something. A few years ago, I spoke reactively about whatever he said, being productive. And after I spoke, I went to who was then from the Ziknei Hadar, a guy, Alec Rabinowitz, Hele Gayid, and I went to Alec and I said to him, I'll never forget, I said to him, nobody heard what I just said. Nobody heard what I was trying to convey. And then I left it and I moved on. And I don't know if that was the shmooze, I said I'm hanging up my cleats. It might have been something else, and I was that shmooze. I don't remember. So I told Alec, I don't think anybody heard me. And then a few years later, Ivri stands up and he says he heard me. And I was blown away. I didn't know you heard me. I didn't realize that. I didn't know you heard me. So if you heard me, I want to talk about this inyan, not in the same way I did before, but I want to cover this base. I'll tell you, mice. It happened with somebody in the room, and a lot of these meisim do, but again, don't feel uncomfortable because I'm saying it in an appreciative way. So somebody was talking to one of the chevra today, and he said to me, I want to do more. I'm interested in doing more. He's telling me, he's a Jew. That's what Jews, the gematria of Jew is, I want to do more. So he said, I want to do more. So we were brainstorming back and forth, what could he do? He said, you know, I have a whole long break over here, a few good hours. So maybe there's an opportunity to learn with a kid, to impact somebody, to help somebody. So, okay, great idea. We brainstorm how, what, where, when, how. And then I said to him, you know, maybe we'll chop a guy. You know, he said, we'll go fishing. So I said, maybe we'll catch a fish. And maybe the fish is going to want to learn every day. And then you saw, he started to twitch, you know. Like, oh, well, every day. Whoa, hold on a second. I said, I want to help. I want to do more. Every day, that's a lot of days. I'm not ready to commit to every day. And this first week, and this is not a bad thing, it's just a reality, there are certain guys in different camps working very hard, very hard. And I know this from doing this, you know, year after year. like a little bit dread the first week of camp, because from not this camp but other camps, people are, you know, reaching out to me and like, I'm leaving. The work's too hard. I can't do this. It's not for me. I didn't realize what I was signing up for. If I had, I known. It's a mekach tos. You know, the more firm guys, they're all like, shtickle tired. I had to get out of it. And it reminds me a few years ago that there was a boy in Misora. He was in 12th grade at the time, and he decided to hang out with us in the kollel. And he came to me one day. It was about 2-3 weeks into the summer, and he said to me, "You know, very nice to meet you, but I'm leaving." I said, "Where are you going?" He said, "Yeah, I decided, like, I'm not having a good time, so I'm leaving." "What do you mean leaving? You committed to stay for 3 weeks?" He said, "No, I signed a contract for the summer, but I'm not having a good time, so I'm leaving." You know, we heard a nice talk, or I asked a question, and we heard, you know, a nice response, or it's sunk in my mind, about what's changed in the last 20, 25 years. And I can't say with certainty what was 25 years ago. You got to go back to that world and see what was. But my sense is that there's something in this generation, like a carelessness, or carefree, careless, however you want to describe it, not to hurt people, not to be malicious, but just an attitude of, if it's not going, I move on. And that's good, that's okay. You have to find yourself. You have to figure yourself out. I'm extremely encouraging of that. I think that's fantastic. But there's very little understanding of, I have a responsibility. And responsibility, productivity, we spoke about, I'm not talking about that. But what I want to talk about is a hosafa to that inyan. I want responsibility. I'm not talking to you about the value of being responsible and adults. You're all there. Yesterday when Rav Horn came in, he looked at the room, he said, "What's going on over here?" He said, you're taking over from Moresh HaKollel? I said, "No way." He asked me, like, "You going next summer when they move out, you can move there?" I said, "No way." He said, "Yeah, but this is like Moresh HaKollel now." I said, No. "Come Tuesday night, 7 p.m., you'll see what this is. This is not Moresh HaKollel. If you want to see the MS, tomorrow night, 7 p.m., that's the MS of what we do here. But we learn seriously. So I don't need to talk to you about take responsibility seriously. We're not having that conversation. We're having a Tosefis conversation about, I want more responsibility. The responsibility that I have is not satisfying me. And you know, yesterday the conversation I alluded to that I had with somebody was my bandwidth of how much can I care about people? What is my emotional capacity allow me? How wide, how far reaching can I stretch? That's the second conversation after this, which is the first. The first conversation is, before you decide your bandwidth, let's start to consider, let's start to discuss, what responsibilities do you want? Today, the Chevra, amazing, amazing job. The room looks like a new room to me, really new. And that's every day. Shabbi kechadashim, mamash a new room. You hear Motzei Shabbos, you didn't really have what the room looks like. But the room, slowly but surely, went from a garage into a base medrash. But it's a slow moving process. The kitchen is on its way to developing over there. And today we made major milestones, covered a lot of ground, cleaned the place up. It's mamash looking amazing. And you noticed, there's two kinds of people. There's a lot of kinds of people. But we're gonna simplify, oversimplify. Two kinds of people. Some kinds of chevra, they went and they moved and they did and they did and schlepped, they just go, they just go. And other kinds of, and I categorize myself naturally in category two. So if you feel bad, then we're in the same boat and I'm making myself feel bad too. Don't feel bad. Just be okay with yourself. And then the other guy just like stands there like, "What should I do? I don't know what to do. Should I pick up a chumash? Should I schlep the thing? I seem to have no purpose right now. I'm going to go to the bathroom." Like, I just don't know what to do myself. It's like the guy, like, where do I put my hands? You know, like, you gotta jump on somebody's back, climb on a shelf, figure it out. That's what you got to do. There's a ladder right next to you. Okay. You didn't even notice. You know, the first thing you thought, it's a high shelf, jump on a guy's back, grab his apron. You know, because your attitude is, where is there more opportunity for responsibility? I'm looking for responsibility. People, I say a lot, I don't say it in a mean way, I say it in a joking attempt to be encouraging. I know it sounds mean and condescending, but my kavana is a joking way of being encouraging. And I say, when you get to an NCSY Shabbaton, or even sometimes in yeshiva, and they say, you are the next leaders of Klal Yisrael. We know that's not true. We know that. I know that. I know this. A couple of you aren't. Maybe a lot more than a couple. Could be a lot more than a couple. But everybody in this room is the leader. Come on. Come on. We're going to talk serious now. Let's talk serious now. So we're talking real. Couple could mean 10. Couple could mean 20. You know, like we have by tefillin. You know, two means four. It's a tefillin figure. Some of you will be leaders. And what's the determinant? As I understand in the context of our current conversation, I'm looking for responsibilities. You know, I saw something, I'm embarrassing. He'll be mochumi. But I mean it in the most, like, hug, kiss way. I'm not going to say his name because it's recorded. But somebody who we all admire, everybody here admires, I admire him the most. He put on the chat, he's offering to give a chabura. And nobody signed up? One person? No, nobody. I was going to make a public kiddush. I was so happy. Nobody signed up. What does that mean? He offered. He said, I'm taking responsibility and I'm doing. And he sent out the rod. You know, the fishing line went out all the way to sea. And he reeled it in. And then, you know, slowly was coming to reality that nobody's tzipisa l'yeshua. Welcome to reality. Nobody cares about the redemption. You know, you got to pivot. That's the best thing, best experience. How many times has a good Rebbe had the experience that he sits down, five chevra show up, four fall asleep, one chevra shows up, and then he sees it was you, he thought it was a different Rebbe, and then he just leaves. You know, every good Rebbe had that opportunity, had that experience. But you keep, and you keep throwing out the fishing rod. I'm looking for responsibility. When will responsibility take advantage of you? I don't know. It will. Who, when, where? I don't know. But one thing we know, what's the line? You 100 shots, you miss 100 shots, you don't take? Some kind of line like that. Wayne Gretzky, there's some kind of line about 100 shots and something. But we know the line. I don't remember the line. Forgive me. You got to shoot. And a Jew means, I'm looking to shoot. I'm looking for responsibility. Then when you have responsibility, then you could talk about bandwidth. Then you could talk about, now I'm going to daven for people. I can't daven for people unless you're under my wing. When you have people under your wing, oh my God, they're the most dearest, precious things to you. You know, yesterday when I said the shmuz for Yosef Mordechai HaKoyen, that his two sisters had and is, Mirtz Hashem, going to have successful heart surgery. So I remember the first time he told me, I just start crying. And I had the schuss to talk to a family member of his. I was texting last night, this morning, and I'm sending texts to his mom, and I'm crying. Why? Because he's not like under my wing, kilo, you know, I take, you know, not like in a weird kind of way. I love the guy because I have a big achrayus on him. Because I want the responsibility to have him in my Dalet Amos. I want the responsibility of making sure he's catered to. I want the responsibility of making sure that he's you know, today when Dov said a comment in Shir, you know how much that comment destroyed me? And I'm saying a compliment to you. I want you to do it every day. Every day. He says in Shir, I don't know what you're talking about. And I don't think anybody does. And you know how much that hurt me? It hurt me because I want you to understand. And you will understand. And I'll do anything it takes to get you to understand. And you know, I'll tell Jacob to do it. I'll do it. I'll figure out how to do it. I don't care. You're going to understand. I'm going to make sure, and you were in the shiur, you know, I gave you a lot of hard times this year, and you gave me probably twice as much. And we, you know, we give it and we take it to each other in a good, friendly, healthy way. And I care. If you don't understand, what am I doing here? That's sick. That's twisted. I'm not doing that to you. No way. So who's going to rise to the occasion? You. How do I know? Because Jacob Rothman is going to make sure you do. That's why the famous Jacob Rothman, Chazar Shir, starts today. And if that's not good enough, he played around with AI. He has a big secret. Not bigger than the Moses secret we discussed this morning, but a big secret nonetheless. Big secret, obviously. So let's help each other. Let's help. You know, I said during the, for the guys who weren't there, I'll end with this. I said during the Hasmada week this year, I don't know, again, like I said to every, I speak, sometimes I feel nobody hears me. But I said during the Hasmada week, I didn't plan to say this, it just came out of my heart when I was talking. I was giving a schmooze. And I said, came right out of my heart. My brain didn't process it before it just came out of my heart. And I said, I'm going to make a gzeira in yeshiva. Everybody has to finish 60 daf. That was the incentive. That was the program. And I said, if you get to 61 before another guy get to 60, leave yeshiva. Leave yeshiva. How do you live in a place where you're going to go to a dinner, you're going to party, you're going to celebrate, and then another guy is going to stay home? No way. When you get to 60, now what's your objective? Get everybody else to 60. Now, what do you want to walk on? Flux. I got to 120. Now Rav Josh will give me an air book. Come on. What are you? I'm going to get another toy. You know, I'm going to get a where's that mushroom we had last night? It got stolen. I'm going to get a toy. I'm going to get 120 daf, and now I'm going to be in a raffle, the most Jewish, cheap way of giving a prize. I'm going to be in a raffle for tickets to Israel. Oh, come on. Come on. You get to 60, now your job, and you know what sick people did? They told me afterwards. These are twisted, unhealthy people. They said to me, but when I help others, it also counts for me. So I'll get to 120. I'm like, you're not well. You're really not well. There's something off about you. There's something extremely off about you. You get to 60, mazel tov, here's a lollipop. Now make sure everybody else gets to 60. So we have Baruch Hashem, very, very guys who have a lot of experience in learning in the base medrash, Baruch Hashem. So what's your job? Like my job. We got to take care of the guys who are less experienced in learning. They also need to understand. And everybody needs to understand. And there's none of this conversation that Rebbeim love to have about what's the percentage of guys, if they understand, then that's a success. The answer is, if it's less than 100, you're a failure. You're a failure. You're destroying a kid. You're telling a kid he doesn't matter. You're telling a kid that his presence in the shiur, nobody needs. You're sick. You should get fired. That's terrible. And not just the Rebbe. Anybody. Anybody. You look around, it's beautiful neshamas flying around everywhere. Now how many are you going to take responsibility for? It doesn't have to be for other people. For yourself. What about yourself in your own life? Are you going to commit to take responsibility? To look weiter, more and more, bigger. What's my next responsibility? You know, I said it's a joke, but it's not a joke. When I went to check out the bathrooms on the first day, I said, how come there's a skula when you have a public bathroom, there's always, for some reason, every stall has three tissues on the floor. They like spawn from the floor. It was never used. The bathroom was never used. Just built. And in every stall, there were three tissues on the floor. How did it get there? And I thought to myself to publicize that we're going to have a bathroom this summer, unheard of. The floor will have no tissues. It's an unbelievable thing. And what will it demand? It will demand, again, forgive me for being a little bit not refined, it'll demand that somebody will have to pick up the tissues. And so one guy will say, obviously, Chaim, one guy will say, I'll pick up all the tissues. But I have a dream. And my dream is that everybody wants that responsibility. There is, no. I got it. I'm going to pick up the tissues. I wasn't here today when it happened, but Avi told me that when Yachar came, they swept over here. He said they were in Gan Eden.
Daily.
And they're doing it every day?
Every day,
day Yachar's going to sweep here. And they're in Gan Eden. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. More responsibilities. They're looking for more opportunities. Where could they help out? It's a big, 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 big lesson. Big, big message that Hashem is putting in the Beis Medrash. Kol Shekin, V'Kol Shekin, Allah has come and come a billion times. And I want to talk one day about the conversation about bandwidth and what we can handle. That's important. How much can you handle and not overdoing it? But the Aleph is search, look, be interested, be curious, be excited about finding more responsibilities for yourself. That's what we're doing in this world. And then you'll be Kohen Gadol. And if you're Kohen Gadol, you make sure everybody's taken care of. No man left behind. Everybody taken care of. And some people like to fall between cracks, and don't let them. As much as we can. It's not always easy. As much as we can. You seal up, Chaim told me that he's going to take tape and seal up all the cracks. Everything happens in this Beis Medrash is a metaphor. Like I said about the carnival yesterday. The carnival was a metaphor. Hashem celebrated the Shabbos victory. And when Chaim told me today, he's going to seal up all the cracks in the Beis Medrash, I said, right through his mouth. Hanavi Chaim. We have a prophet in the Beis Medrash. So we should look, Mirtz Hashem, more and more responsibilities. Geshmak, more responsibilities. Take more under our wing. And you have a lot of Siyat, Deshmaya, Shkayach. Jacob Rothman's famous Chazar Shir. Right now, nobody's obligated. Optional, obviously. And then, you want to see.